there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. I am constantly reminded that connecting with new people and telling them about my work helps to bring the most amazing stories to my attention. I recently met a woman and told her about this podcast, and she suggested that I speak to her son, Spencer, who created a resource guide called Nanotech. Isn't that the best name? Nanotech is an illustrated book that provides step-by-step instruction on how to use a smartphone. Spencer developed Nanotech after working with his own grandmother, helping her to learn how to use technology to play online bridge and take classes. Spencer is one of the most thoughtful young changemakers I've met, and his patience and kindness in developing Nanotech is a perfect example of sharing your skills and talents to help others in a meaningful way. Welcome back, everybody. I'm delighted to introduce you to my new friend, Spencer, today. He started a really wonderful organization called Nanotech. Hey, Spencer, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us today. So tell us all about yourself, how old you are, where you go to school, what grade you are, all those good things. And then tell us about Nanotech, how it got started. Tell us everything.
Thank you so much. So I'm 18. I go to school at Hotchkiss High School in Connecticut. And the Nanotech project, I'd say, really started around 5 years ago. I started to learn how to use computers. Interesting part of the journey for me is I went to a Waldorf middle school, right? So I didn't grow up using a lot of technology. I certainly didn't grow up doing all my school assignments on a computer. So stepping into this role for my grandparents was sometimes challenging. My grandmother would come over asking, oh, how does this email thing work? Or how do I get back to this web page? And it ended up being this really fun moment for us where we sometimes were things that we both had to learn at the same time. But then we could build that together. And then as I went on later in middle school, you know, to build my own computer, things like that, I started to get a good amount of knowledge that I could share, and then started helping her through more and more things. Then she would start bringing questions from her friends and so on and so forth. And eventually we got to a point where we would be making lists together, drawing little icons, making analogies that we thought were helpful. And I sat down over last summer and said, well, this is something that I could really write down, make a definitive version of, that I could share with her, that I could share with anyone, that anyone who needs it could have access to this. So that's what led to the book. That's why we said, okay, this should be a print thing. So then over that summer, we thought about all the different things. I thought about all the different things I'd shared with her, whether it's like how to make sure you're connected to the internet, how to connect to the internet on your phone, right? How do you read your text, answer text? There's so many things that feel so second nature that are so central to just the interaction with the device that are, when outside of the context of us who are so comfortable with it, is really abstract and very strange, but can be connected to these really intentionally intentional analogies that are built into the devices by the designers. And it's unlocking those analogies, and it's unlocking that connection between the real world, the real tactile world, and using the device that makes it possible. And that's really what I was going for in the book, what I was always trying to communicate for those 5 years of helping her out when she wanted to play, say, online bridge during the pandemic. There's all these sorts of things that just...
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. Can we just take a couple of steps back? So I know what Waldorf is, but can you just explain really briefly what the pedagogy is there at the Waldorf school and why, as a younger child in a Waldorf school, you might not have had a ton of exposure to technology? And then maybe explain to us, like, at what point did you kind of, were you forced to learn how to use computers? Because obviously now, as a high school student, and certainly in college and beyond, this is going to be really important. So take us a little bit back on that for you personally. I think that's a really interesting part of this journey for you, because as you mentioned, in teaching your grandma, there was probably stuff that you were also teaching yourself. And I always say that one way to really learn how to do something is to teach another person how to do it. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So the Waldorf School, the idea is children need time to really know themselves and know what's within them to become motivated to achieve what they really want to achieve. And it can be hard to do that in a world where we're sort of saturated and surrounded by media. There's this idea that we might try to emulate something, go for something too soon before we've really had a sense of what is within ourselves, what's within us when we're like in a sandbox or playing with blocks somewhere, right? So as a result of this, Waldorf schools tend to reduce how much students interact with technology. You know, until fifth grade, I didn't know that a TV could turn on during the day just because I'd never seen it happen, right? So it was just out of my reality. It was just totally beyond conception.
Wow, that's amazing. Spencer, that's amazing.
Thank you. And I think it has informed certainly a perspective within me that I have found helpful, right? So coming from that perspective to try and teach, like to teach someone how to use a phone is obviously a little interesting because it's like, well, it's not part of my certainly early childhood. But I think that that has put me in a sort of unique spot where I remember in, you know, seventh, eighth grade, starting to learn these things, right? With the pandemic, backtracking a tiny bit. Because technology wasn't allowed, it became a bit of a forbidden fruit, right? It was a really attractive idea to a lot of people, right? You could maybe during the summer go to the movie theater with a group of friends, and that was really fun. And that was great. But for me, it turned into a little more an interest in how it actually works, how it all fits together on a real mechanical level. So I remember I was dropping, my sister went to a performing arts school in Michigan, and there was a Best Buy there. So we were buying like lamps for her room. And there was the computer section, and I was in the computer section, and this would have been probably around sixth, seventh grade. And I was staring at these computers like, whoa, that's really cool. Because the workstations had these demonstrations where it was showing like computer simulation packages, and I was just in awe. So then from that, I said, well, these are tools. These are tools. I can do something with this that I cannot do, that I cannot draw, that I cannot calculate by hand. There is something really powerful here. And my parents said, well, okay, if you can build one, we'll let you have one. So I said, great. So I built one, and it's been sort of a ship of Theseus over the past, then it would have been 5 years since seventh grade, and it's just kept evolving and changing things. So from that perspective, for me, from that path from trying to find who I am before I engage with the technology, and then bringing that context of this is a tool, this is something that I can make something out of, I can build this to my needs, to my what I would like to use it for, I think has really uniquely informed how I think about nanotech, because it's a really intentional interaction with the device, right? There is a reason the way these things, they work this way. And just peeling back that layer just a little bit to seeing the logical construction behind how settings is laid out this way, or, you know, why the like home screen to open all your apps from is actually a really useful tool. I think it makes it a little easier for me to explain these things in an understandable way, because to a certain extent, I had to do that for myself a little later than a lot of people in my generation did.
Right, right. You know, there is this, I think, extreme frustration when older folks, and I include myself in this, don't know what a young person is talking about because it's completely foreign language to us, right? And I think that young people can get really frustrated. Like, you know, mom, of course, it's like right there. You can see, you know, just click on this. Like, it's not so intuitive. It's not so obvious if you have not been raised with it, if it's not a part of your, you know, how you learned how to learn, how you learned how to use things. And so it's such a, I love the way that you talked about teaching this stuff to your grandmother. And just take me back to the initial part of that. Was it during the pandemic that she was sort of struggling with, again, the ability to play bridge online, or maybe even FaceTiming with family or Zoom or other things like that? Was that really the spark of when you started doing that work with your grandmother? Or do you remember this going back even further than that?
I would say maybe it started a little bit before the pandemic, but the pandemic really put everyone online. So that was really when we started thinking about this a lot more. Yeah, the online bridge was a good example. She started taking online classes through her church, and that was really amazing for her, but it was challenging because she had to learn how to kind of navigate all these things. I remember helping her find some emails for that class, finding the Zoom links.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, here I am. This is what I do every day. And I still, at the beginning of our conversation today, my microphone and my, like I had to reboot something, right? Like it's not so straightforward all the time. And first of all, good for your Nana for being like, I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm not just going to give up and throw my hands up and sit in the corner and knit. You know, I'm going to actually figure this out with the help of my grandson so that I can take a class or I can continue to play bridge because I can't be with other people. The social isolation and the loneliness of the pandemic was so compounded for elderly people or for people who were not connected in this way or people lived in very rural areas. Because if you couldn't physically be with someone, you couldn't play cards, you couldn't do other things that you would normally do in community. And if you couldn't get on technology, you didn't have the Wi-Fi or you didn't have a computer at your disposal, it was really compounded that loneliness. So I think that a lot of folks had to get a quick learn on technology. And I just, I love that you helped her through that. And then through the process, you know, created a document for others to use. So tell us about the book. So you wrote all of this stuff down. Did you publish it? Do you give it away? Do you sell it? Like, tell us a little bit more about that piece.
So it's around 50 pages. It's a print copy. There's no ebook. And our reasoning behind that is trying to help people become less frustrated right. with their devices, not frustrate
if
them.
If you can't get the ebook, then you can't figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So, because we have on every page an image of the phone screen showing exactly what we're talking about, which button to press, what slider to slide. And the book is available for sale on Amazon. But every time we do an order from the people who are printing it, we give a number of them to local community centers for seniors or assisted living facilities to really try and have a nice balance of if people are going to go and seek it out on their own, they can get it. But also if they are just visiting these spaces, these are spaces they occupy frequently, are used to, then they can have that resource there just as like a coffee table book that they can pick up.
Right. Amazing. And what is the name of the book?
The whole title is Nanotech, A Tech Teenager Shares the Top 10 Skills to Get the Most Out of Your Phone.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Again, when I heard the name of the organization, Nanotech is just like so brilliant. I can't believe you should definitely copyright that or patent that or something. So it really only deals with the telephone, just to be clear. So, okay. But of course, you can access Zoom and many other things off of your telephone as an app, but that's sort of an important piece. You know, I talk about intergenerational volunteering in my books for young people, and I do believe that those are some of the most powerful volunteer work that we can do because both parties learn so much and gain so much from those relationships, right? I think that older people just love being with young people because of the energy and all of the good stuff, but I think young people get so much from older folks as well, just the life experience and the just the wisdom that they can impart. And I'm sure that you would agree with that. It seems like you have a nice, very beautiful relationship with your grandmother, which is really so lucky. So did you face any challenges putting this thing together other than the usual, like actually figuring out how to explain this to an older person? Were there any obstacles to putting this together? I mean, you wrote the book and then you had to get it published, get it online with Amazon. Like that's not an insignificant challenge.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, the making of the book was the easy part.
Right.
My aunt is a graphic designer, so she very generously donated her time to lay it all
that's
out.
That's helpful,
so it was
yeah.
This awesome family project where we all sort of came together and made it happen. But then to get it published, we did not expect as much interest in the book as it had ended up generating. We've struggled to keep it in stock, especially during the holiday season, which has been really fun, but also slightly frustrating where I made this text to hopefully help people, but then it's difficult for people to actually get their hands on it. But that has since improved. So we're very happily, anyone who wants a copy of Nanotech is more than able to receive one or find one in a community center now. So I'd say our biggest challenge was, funnily enough, almost bridging that physical digital divide to get the book out onto the internet. But yeah, it's been great really since then.
Right. It's so analog, you know, printing an actual physical book. But as you pointed out, you know, if you put it on the internet and someone doesn't know how to access the internet, it kind of defeats the whole purpose. And, you know, older people, this is how they learn things, right? And to have the pictures, the sort of step by step, I mean, I know that that's helpful for me. You know, that's the most brilliant part. There are several organizations here in my community that have, you know, senior centers and things like that, that have the opportunity for teens
teens to come and actually do this, you know, with a senior citizen. But it takes a lot of patience. You know, I think it does take a special person to sit with an elderly person who has no frame of reference for this tool in their hand and really like step by step go through it. You know, I think both parties can get very frustrated. So again, kudos to you for thinking of this and for putting it all together. Do you have interest in doing anything around technology in your career, or do you think, or even teaching? What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I'm applying to colleges right now, and my intended major is computer engineering.
Nice.
So I hope to design some of this stuff.
That's amazing. And that's even more amazing because it really wasn't a part of your younger, your elementary and middle grade education. So the fact that this has really become a passion of yours over the last few years is special. And I just love that you're doing something good with it and helping others to be able to understand it. Well, Spencer, this is such a terrific story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. I'm going to go online right now and buy a copy of Nanotech for my mother-in-law.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me. It's been awesome talking to you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.